In today's episode, we're going to be talking about what policy you need for your rental business. Make sure you stay tuned to learn more about it. Before we get started, real quick, if you haven't already subscribed or reviewed us on Apple Podcasts or subscribed to us on YouTube or any place you listen to podcasts, please do that. This podcast, if for those who have been listening, they know what it is. For those who haven't, we basically talk about event equipment, equipment rentals, just anything along that lines business-wise to help you start and grow your business. So let's jump into it. So this right here is coming straight out of the ultimate checklist, getting started checklist, which we probably have to change the name because there's going to be a lot of things to check in here.
Hey, you're constantly adding stuff.
Yeah, we have, like, if you print it out, it's like this thick. It's like over 40 pages now, about to be 50. But we got a lot of good information in here. So we're going to go from there. So if you want this, check the link down below. If the link is not down below, you will see email. And just email us that you want the ultimate checklist, and we'll get started from there. So we have a couple interesting policies on here. We're going to start with our favorite on this list. Which one is your favorite, Eddie, actually?
My favorite? Yeah. I think mine would be refunds.
Okay, so cancellations. No refund cancellation policy. So we did an episode earlier about if you should offer this. It did pretty well. I think got like 500 people listen to it and stuff like that. So the question is if you should or shouldn't. That's based on you for the most part. But the biggest thing is that once you go down that path, you kind of need to stick to your policy. So it kind of runs that way. So how do you feel about cancellation policy?
What I feel is really essential because I think just like we talked about, like in the beginning of our relationship, starting a business together, we didn't have these things in hand. So it really hits home whenever I read them. And that's why I like it the most, just because like this is the kind of stuff that's going to save you, because there's a lot of things that are out of your hands, and it kind of protects you from, being unfavorable in the business's, in the business's funding. Yeah. I like it a lot because, for instance, right now here in Texas, right now it's like it's icing and sleeting. And that's why we have all this stuff on. Well, if you're seeing us on YouTube, you can see that we have all this like snow gear on. Because, it's Texas. We're not used to seeing a lot of snow. So when it gets really cold and starts snowing, this policy right here, the cancellation policy, really protects us because, if you don't have something like this, a customer can very easily say, hey, we're canceling and give me my money back. But we have certain rules in place. That way it protects us from those things from happening.
Yeah, and also, too, what a good thing that it helps for them. If you do have to cancel for any reasons, as long as you're outside of the waiting period of it, you can basically move it to store credit. So the kind of the goal is, and the reason why you even have a no refund or cancellation policies is because a lot of times we had issues at the beginning where people would cancel and we wouldn't be able to refill the items. But when we look back at it, we had like 5 or 6 people who wanted those same items but couldn't book it because we turned them away. So that's kind of the way that we do it on that part. Now, most times people just take the store credit. Some people get mad and go through the dispute process. But that's another thing we have in here of how you go through that. So what's the next one on the list, Eddie?
So we're going straight down credit card authorization.
Yeah. So this is simple. Just this allows you to actually process the payments with the customer's credit card that's on file. Not much to that. I just think this is like a standard. That's something that everybody should have. You just throw that into your contract. All these can be put in your contract, and all these should be put in your contract. They don't have to be separate documents at all. What's the next one?
Oh, I like this one because this is, I think Kobe's one of his favorite, customer ethics.
Customer ethics. So for the most part, this is just that the customers has to obey by a certain code of conduct. They can't just cuss you out and expect you to still give the same service and everything like that. It's just that if we're going to respect them for our side, they're going to be respectful on their side. And any delays that happen because of how they react to a certain situation or how they treat the customer service reps or the team members, what will be reflected in the time they get things. So just something like that. on there. It's not really like we're canceling people's orders for it. It's just that if there's a delay and if you cause the delay, you won't get any repercussions for it.
No. The next one's going to be customer pickup and returns.
All right. So this is more edits.
Yeah. So on this one is basically the overall, like, how the things work. So, you know, how the pickup's going to work.
You sad or something?
I'm not sad. Why?
Why you keep looking down?
I'm trying to read what you got on here. But, a lot of the customer pickups and returns, like, for instance, today is a good example. You know, like I said, it's bad weather right now. Everybody's scrambling because they're trying to get out of the ice storm that's coming. So stuff like that, you know, it just gives us kind of breakdown of, like, what to expect. And same thing with our delivery drivers. You know, when they go to pick up, like, the stuff needs to be broken down, needs to be in the same location because, you know, sometimes some customers, they try to be sneaky and then they're like, oh, yeah, the stuff's way over there. Go pick it up. And in our customer pickups and returns, it states all that. It has to be back in the same spot that it was at originally. If not, then, you know, the credit card authorization form will basically give us authorization to charge your card for the, you know, X amount of dollars for the extra work that we have to do. So just a basic layout of what needs to be done, and that way there's no misunderstandings.
Yeah, I think the next version of our contract is going to – right now we have formulas for how we create the stuff that's listed in the contract. Going forward, we're going to just tell them the exact amount based on what they have already. That's like another thing we're going to do. What's the next one?
Let's see. Next we have, damage waiver. Get a lot of questions about those. So it's the option offered by a rental company that customers can choose to purchase in order to limit the financial responsibilities of accident damage that might occur during a rental period. Now, this doesn't, don't get it confused. This doesn't, you know, they're shooting off fireworks for 4th of July and they put a hole in your tent or a gender reveal and, you know, they got pink and blue stain all over your stuff. It doesn't cover that kind of stuff. These are just like regular wear and tear things. But I think on ours, it's not optional.
It's non-negotiable.
Yeah. So ours, it's automatic. And it's something that's not refundable either. That's one thing a lot of people ask. Like, is this refundable? Like, no, it's not. It's just something that we have on all our equipment. And remember, it's accidental stuff. Sometimes we'll get tables back and these things look like, I know I joke around, like WWE, they've been playing with it, but jumping on the table and stuff like that. That happens. And that this is not covered underneath the damage waiver. That's like negligence. So that's that.
Yeah, and then on the damage waiver, one thing that I like the most about it on there, and the reason why we don't really offer it to be non-negotiable, because every time the items go out, there's some type of wear and tear that goes on, just from the use of it. It could be for someone scraping it, moving to the side of it. It just makes it so you don't have to charge everybody for the full item over it. You build that up over cost to be able to replace it. And the damage waiver fees should be the fees that you use to repurchase your items in the future. So it's a good thing to separate those into a different account eventually as you move forward on there. The next one, I think Eddie already talked about, is delivery and pickup.
Yeah,
it kind of
same thing.
Yeah, the customer pickup returns and the delivery pickup form and ours is already together. So you don't have to really worry about that. And then we have a photo usage one. This is more for marketing purposes. This is just when people send us photos that we can use those for business posting, even cross advertisements, cross the website, or any way that we want to. And they just give us a release form for that. What's next?
Next.
Like I said, all this and more in the ultimate getting started checklist. So check it out.
Yeah, the next one's going to be a refund.
Refunds. So yeah. So let me separate it right here. So we have the cancellation policy. If you do offer cancellations, and the cancellation goes more not it's not cancellation goes from store credit or the actual like money back or anything like that. If you in a certain amount of time, like if you cancel the date of an event, you just lose your event. You lose the money that you have on there. You don't get store credit or nothing. Now the no refund policy is the one that Eddie was talking about earlier, is on the line about, like, we just don't offer refunds. You put the money in the system and then you can use store credit, but that's the only thing that we give back to people. And just because that's just how we decided to do business. And it is very prevalent on the website, on all the contracts, on all the every single piece of communication for the most part has that on there. So we, by putting it in all these places, have made, we have like very less issues at all.
We almost have zero issues
yeah. now.
Like that. When people try to do chargebacks or stuff like that, we have zero issues because like we have like recordings of everything, all the transactions, even in the like the contracts that they sign, all the states. I mean, there's no going around. Like it's all in plain lettering or in plain English, and we verbally, our sales team tells them. So yeah. I like it because, you know, seeing the wins are great.
Yeah. The one thing I like about it is that not that one, but the next one is retaking of rental items. We actually didn't have this. We didn't have this until that one time you had to go get the stuff, and we technically, the person was like, oh, we don't have the rights to do it. So I'm like, let me see what other people are doing. Then we had a couple more people over here that specifically had that in their contract. Mm-hmm. Like it was Big D, Peerless, and Marquee.
Yeah.
Because I seen the contracts that we got from them, they all had something like this that's saying that we have the right to retake the equipment if necessary. And they have to pay for any damages that we have to get it returned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was because of the time this one person was getting crazy with me.
The one with the dog?
Well, I almost got tore up by a dog, and then the lady pulled a gun out on me, which was a fun story.
I thought you did The Matrix. You did Nemo.
Yeah.
Or not Nemo. Was it Nemo? Neo.
Neo?
No, not Nemo. Don't find me.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, that has helped out a lot. And on top of that, we kind of came up with processes as well. I think you can put in even like a 10-day demand letter. And you can also reach out to like your local police department. They're really good at handling those situations. Mm-hmm. But it's all in details right there. The next one is going to be marking underground utilities. So this is like really good for people that do tents and bounce houses.
Anything you really have to stake down.
Yeah, pretty much anything you have to stake down. But I know you usually...
Or heavy.
Yeah. Usually... Yeah, you're right about that. Heavy, too. Because sometimes... this will happen a lot of times. People will say, oh, yeah, you can drive on the backyard. And then there's a pipe that's so shallow that your heavy truck drives right over and busts a pipe underneath. Certain things that kind of like that, that this would kind of alleviate those kind of issues. Basically putting it back on the customer that, what's it called? I know it's 811, right? Or 811?
Yeah, 811. Is that the same everywhere, you think?
I think it is.
I think it's in Florida, so that must be.
I think it's the same everywhere, probably, so nobody, you got different, same thing with 911, you use it anywhere. So I believe 811 is going to be the same everywhere. So basically call them, they're responsible for getting the pipes and everything kind of marked out and laid out and seeing where everything's at. And the same, this also goes for like sprinklers and stuff like that. So it's their responsibility because like, for the most part, you know, customers are just like, you know, I don't have time for that. And, you know, you bust a pipe and you're the bad guy. But if you have this in the contract, you know, it turns it back around and protects you. And then also it gives them that, hey, if you didn't do it, that's something on you. It's not on the company. But if they did mark it and you put the stake right where they marked, and you know, shame on you. But puts it in the customer's ball field where they have to do the work in order to prevent any future damages. So make sure that you got that in your contract as well.
Yeah, and it's easy for them to do the sprinklers. We just tell them to cut the sprinklers on and just mark it once they pop up. So it makes it a lot easier for them to do it on there. But, you know, we tell them don't do that when we're, you know, going to put stuff down either. But, you know, usually put it before market with something. Even if people have like some type of spray or some type of flagging system mm-hmm. on that part is left over to the actual client. We generally call 811 on them, but for them, because some people just might forget or something like that. But technically in our contract is for them to call it, because you have to work with them to make sure they're in the backyard and everything like that. So that's just a good policy, and also too a policy for your inside team, for your team to be able to determine too.
Yeah.
Next one.
Assumption of risk and release. So this is basically saying they assume all the risk and then they release us from any liability of anything that happens. So let's just say that, you know.
Someone bounce house.
Yeah, exactly. Bounce house. Little Timmy, you know.
WrestleMania.
Yeah, little Timmy was playing WrestleMania inside the bounce house. And then, you know, he breaks his arm. And then, you know. And for some reason, they say, oh, well, the bounce house was so bouncy is the reason why.
Yeah.
That's how. Yeah, so stuff like that.
Helium in there.
Yeah, right. so stuff like that. It just kind of protects you from when stuff goes bad. Because, you know, you know, stuff could happen. It just kind of releases you, kind of helps you out, gives you ammo. I don't know if I've ever, I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this, but I'll always say a thing to Xavier. I'm like, all right, when we're going to war, the more ammo that we have, the better off that we're going to win the war. So like all these little things that we're telling you are just basically like bullets, you know what I mean? So they're going to basically, help your situation out if you do have to go and, go to war or go to court or what have you with these people, if they want to, you know, do anything further. Do you have anything on that one?
No, that's pretty straightforward. That's
pretty good. Yeah. Non-refundable deposits.
So we don't really do these for us, but if you're doing like specialty items or items that are very expensive, mm-hmm. You might have a refundable or non-refundable. Like when we do for the venue, we have a refundable deposit. It could be non-refundable or refundable, depending on how you want to do it. It's just when you're renting things out that someone can cause damage to it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause excessive damage to it really quick, and it can add up. You want to have those damage policies. Typically, I see people kind of have those to whatever the insurance deductible is. That's kind of where I've seen around to. But like for like the throne chairs, some people make you have to put a deposit down, so you make sure you return it back in good condition. It usually don't work. It's usually not done. That doesn't work. It's not done in the general one, like a general rental. Like we do at Kelly Rentals, but it does happen in the specialized ones on there. So, it's on there. We're updating different policies on there. I think we probably got that number 2 or 3 that's going to be added there. Onto this sleeve, it's basically the whole part of the checklist right here. It's to show you what you need to have in your contracts and policies you need to have for your team. Right now, we just have policies you need to have for external customers, but in the future, we're going to have process, the actual procedures you need to have internally how to do things. Like, you have to be thinking about from a standpoint right now, you might be a solo operator and it's you doing everything, but like, how do you clean your chairs? Where do you stack your chairs at? Like who pays the bills inside the place? How do you do that? Where are the stuff located? I mean, one time when we weren't there and they were trying to figure out, how to cut the, they were trying to figure out the gas bill or something like that. Or no, it was electricity, because electricity went out. And they didn't have any of the information readily available for them. I mean, Eddie weren't there. So, like, you want to have some of this stuff available so when you do build and you grow and you get your employees and stuff, you have systems in place that you know you want them exactly to do. For us, like, we're going into this new warehouse that we got that we're going to show you guys. And the warehouse, we're going to make sure we have all our systems in place. We already got a lot of systems now, but now we're going to take it up to another notch. So everything is planned out. Everything has a spot. Everything has a box. And this is how we care for everything. Everything has a maintenance schedule, and go from there.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, but make sure y'all stay tuned for that. Now, me and Eddie did think about something right here. I pitched it to him. I don't know if he agreed to it on this right here, but we seen some. We thought it would be interesting, and you guys might like that. We might go through the receipts for each week of work that we do. We're gonna try that. I was thinking we might have to skim it down, because we can't during the busy season read off 300 orders on camera to someone. But maybe we'll tell you the amount that we make that week, kind of general what we spent on it, and then
I give them a breakdown of everything, like employees, gas, and stuff like that.
Yeah, employee gas. What about the gas?
What about the gas? this is gonna be fun, and then y'all gotta see like real life ticket items, and of course we'll blur out like the private information on everybody. But
yeah,
we'll give you like a good idea, huh?
We should make a thing in the web back end where it just prints it out so it doesn't have that information.
That'll work.
And just have maybe like the cities or something. How are we going to do it? Yeah, we'll have to figure that out, yeah. But we can do everything. We don't need the cities, technically. You guys don't need to know what everybody's houses is, right?
Yeah.
We just say the
amount. That way they go pitch them, hey, I saw what they did. We can do better.
Yeah. But, yeah, so we can kind of walk through that so you can see kind of how we're doing, and then we can see what our expectations were, mm-hmm. if we made more, if we made less, and you can see how these policies are in action. Hopefully we're not doing this to brag to you, because, we don't – as you've seen before, we don't really talk a lot about, we talk about how much money we make as a revenue, but we usually don't come out and say, we make $50,000 from this 1 week or this right here or anything like that. We kind of just go through, but this right here is more to give you motivation and understand, like, this is what can easily be done. And a lot of times too, there's people doing a lot bigger than us, 10 times, 20 times, 100 times,
yeah,
or more, mm-hmm, bigger than what we're doing. So hopefully that this helps the next person up to realize that they can get here too. And there's a lot of room for competition in these areas all across. Mm-hmm. Like we're not the biggest in our area. We're nowhere near the biggest in our area. And you're probably not the biggest in your area. But we all can be working, splitting up pieces of pie and doing great service.
Yeah, so work our way up in the ranks.
Yeah, so check that out. We still have, we don't have, this slot has been taken for this next quarter, but the with this quarter after that, we still have the slot open for if you want to partner with us to start a rental company. We're doing kind of a way where we'll put up the systems, you put up the money, and we'll show you, we'll run it through and run it how it goes to, and you'll have weekly reports and you'll get monthly payouts. Something interesting. Just let me know if you're interested in something like that. Let us know. Reach out to us at contactus@rentalboys.com. Yep, we got an email now for you guys, so make sure you check us out there. As I said, again, it's contactus@rentalboys.com. And then we'll be able to talk about it and see if it's something that's interesting that you might want to look at doing with us. So on there. So if you're looking at starting, though, you might want to look at some of our other stuff, like the checklist to go through everything, looking at doing some consulting, or just asking some general questions that we can answer for you that we can do for free on there. So just look into that. You don't have to really do the other part. It's just for people who want to get in the industry but maybe don't want to jump or really just want something kind of a little bit more passive than what they've been getting on there. So we have stuff right there, but the next quarter's already taken, so we're just looking for someone in the future. So we're just going to choose the best person that fits, makes sense, and we really want this to be successful for everybody. And reach out if you want more information. But download the checklist, check out the affiliate links, take Eddie on a date, you know, if you want to talk to him. On there, you got to take Lily too. But, yeah, any other questions?
That's it. That's pretty much it. I'm just happy to be here to share you. Like, this stuff is, really, if you can just get this, a lot of these policies that we mentioned, man, you're going to be, so much well off. It'll take off a lot of problems of your plate. So just stay tuned. We got a lot of cool stuff and information to give y'all. And, yeah, just keep doing what you can, and let's get it.
Thank you guys for watching. I'm Xavier Kelly.
I'm Eddie Salcedo.
And we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.